This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Final installment, part three of my conversation with Lamar Johnson from UT Austin. Super excited. If you didn't check them out, as always, please go back and listen to part one on authenticity, part two on persuasion. Not just because Lamar mentioned authentic and persuasion a ton of time, but because how valuable that is, especially from his side and what he's seeing with the future of sales and what is happening out there. Just some background, Lamar is a longtime Procter and Gamble veteran. He spent 33 plus years there, kind of going into a sales role, even though he wasn't sure that's what he wanted to do, and then making a long career out of it, returning back to his alma mater, University of Texas at Austin. And being a founding member of their program, being involved with it, being a part of the corporate sponsorship, the corporate partners, the sales club that's there. And so we've had two great conversations. Lamar, you ready for part three?
You bet, man. Go.
All right. Let's talk about the future of sales. So we've talked about authenticity, persuasion. Now let's talk about the future. What do you see? Let's talk about buyers first. What do you see buyers wanting more of or less of from salespeople moving forward, especially, and this is why I love our conversation, especially compared to maybe where things were 40 something years ago when you started and what people expected from a salesperson?
So where I think things are going, and universities are beginning to see this because companies are demanding it of students coming out of the business schools and other schools in the university. But data analytics, big data, the ability to analyze data and parse that data in a way that buyers can make sense out of it and can make decisions with it. Buyers, have limited time. They're looking at lots of different things. A trusted sales reps can bring an analysis of an enormous amount of data and present the true insights from that data in a way that provides the buyer a better tool in which to make a buying decision. So I think we're coming from salespeople will have to be able to understand data, will have to be able to analyze data, will have to be able to use tools like, I'll name a brand, Tableau, to be able to take enormous amount of data and then present it in a pictorial fashion that gets people's attention in a short period of time. That's going on in the marketing world. It's going on in the finance world. It's critically important today and will be even more critically important going forward. And that's one of the reasons we have a requirement for a business analytics course as part of our sales minor at UT.
And I love that. And I especially with what you said too about, they want this information, but they buyers having less time, like it feels like we all do. And so they just want help making that right decision, right? They want that analysis done.
Exactly.
I've been saying it for a while now is people don't want a salesperson to give them information and knowledge anymore. They want the wisdom and how to apply the features and benefits of a product to their specific situation.
And that's not different than executives who want, they don't want to see the spreadsheet that you did the work on. They want you to be able to translate that spreadsheet into the insights from that spreadsheet and what it means for the business going forward. And that's how you sell a CEO, a senior vice president, a director on the idea is by parsing the data out in a way and then having enough intelligence and enough knowledge of the business to say, here's what the data is telling us. And that's the same approach a salesperson needs to have with a buyer is here's a bunch of data. I've crunched it. Here's what this data says. 1, 2, 3. And if you're in an authentic, trusting relationship, that buyer loves you for doing that kind of work for them. If they don't have that relationship, they may be skeptical that you're bringing in something that doesn't add up at the end of the day. But so you have to have that authenticity and trusting relationship for that to work. But you have to have a skill set to be able to do that.
Well, and the first part that you were talking about just now was dealing with CEO or executives. That's you're referring to like if you're an internal employee and going back to what we talked about in the last episode where everything exactly. In life is sales. And so when you're getting them to, go through or see whatever it is that you're wanting to have them approve or agree with, that's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's so much data available today that wasn't available 10, 15, 20 years ago. And it's only going to be more types of data available to make use to make decisions, but it's overwhelming. And so you've got to have a way to parse it down. You've got to have people that are smart enough. And this is one of the places sales are going to. It's going to be require brain power to be able to analyze data and then translate that data into salient points that that the buyer understands, and then make that connection between your products and what the buyer needs to solve their problem.
Where do you see that part in the programs that you're, you know, at UT and in general in these sales programs, what you're seeing in the sales club, especially relative to the market where sometimes salespeople can, like, they have the language of their company and their solution, and then they go to a potential buyer and they're using all their jargon or technical stuff, and it's two different people talking two different languages, and then buyers are like, yeah, confused minds never buy, right? And they're just like, right. I don't get it, never mind.
Exactly. And that's where the sales rep, if they haven't done their homework, if they don't understand the customer, if they don't understand their needs, the best salespeople understand the language of the customer, and they understand how the customer does business. They understand the acronyms. They understand the strategy of the company. All this, most of this stuff is available on an annual report or in the newspaper or something where people have said, this is what we're trying to get done. And you've got to be able to tailor and understand how your product fits that company strategy and be able to articulate the solution in language they understand. That's critical.
What do you see in the future of sales for salespeople, like, doing more of? Is it just more and more of that consultative, boiling it down, here's solutions, or do you see anything else changing in sales, you know, now and moving forward relative to, you know, what we've been talking about?
Well, I think we've been evolving to this consultative selling model over the last 20 years, maybe. And it's not pervasive yet. There are too many salespeople, I think, that are doing the surface job, and some of them are getting away with it because they have a relationship. But I think in the next 5 to 10 years, it'll be critical that the salesperson is a business person, not just a salesperson, and as a business person has analyzed data and has understood the finances of the company they're doing business with, and they're able to translate their products into the benefits from a company's perspective, looking back. And I think if you look at salespeople today that sell big things, big systems, millions of dollars worth of stuff, that's the approach they take. I mean, they're getting paid a bunch of dollars, but you can't go in and sell, you know, 100 servers or 1,000 servers to a company without really understanding that customer's business and why they need that server and why they need your server to begin with. If you're selling smaller things, you know, it's not quite as it's important, but it's not quite as important to really have that business acumen to understand the need. So salespeople are going to become high-powered business people that understand a customer's business as well as that customer understands their business.
Well, and I think that's where I'm excited about programs like yours, like these professional sales programs, minors, bachelors, and beyond, and in courses, is helping people understand that and preparing them for that, more on the consultative, less on the transaction, less on the relationship side. Yeah. And I think that the old school model is very like the wine and dine and happy hour and networking and this and that. And it's like, all right, but what's the actual solution? And yeah, you know, leveraging too much relationship.
You look at the world, and I'm talking about younger people than me, your age, for example. You know, buyers too, they're into lifestyle. They're into more time with their family. They're into health stuff. You know, the three martini lunch, I mean, it had gone away before I started years ago, but you know, taking people out for big dinners and doing all that stuff, I think is less, and it's going to continue to be less important because people don't want to do that four nights a week. They want to be with their family. They want to be at the soccer game with their kids. They want to be, you know, whatever it is. And the opportunity to schmooze them, unless it's something really unique. One of the more unique ways, and this goes back 20 years, when the BlackBerry was launched, so way back, this is back when, what was the name of the company? Something in motion from Canada. Yeah. Made the BlackBerry. They brought all their buyers in, or many of their buyers, and I got a bunch of tickets to the Masters. And I kept seeing these people walk around, because I went that year, and they're walking around with these little black things. And, you know, I said, what's that? And so, it's called a BlackBerry. What does it do? I said, well, one thing we can do, it's got a live leaderboard in my hand here. I'd like to sell where the leaderboard is changing while I'm walking around the golf course. I said, wow, that's cool. But the company had brought first of all, a ticket to the Masters is a pretty big deal. And then being able to use their product while on the, I have no doubt that their initial success was as a result of that. Now, that's a piece of entertainment and wining and dining that would attract people, I think. But the big dinners, that's a much smaller percentage of buyers today, I think, than there used to be.
Yeah, and it's definitely about the long-term relationship. And I think one of the things that's changed is a lot of buyers, again, of all age demographics, usually when they get to a certain point, they've had enough experience where they can see through the phony experiences and the dinners. And then, the ones that are valuable relationship building versus, giving to get, right? Where it's like, I'm going to take you to dinner because I'm expecting you to buy from me. Yeah. And, how that doesn't work. If we talk about the technology side, obviously this is what's fun. Like you said, it weren't calculators. You're talking about slide rules. I think in part one, when we were talking about technology and now, and what the salespeople now have available, right? Mm-hmm. Whether they're in your program or they're already out there selling. And you talked a bit about it as being able to use those things, the Tableaus where do you see technology also fitting in, and or what are you excited about, this future generation having available?
Oh, well, who knows how artificial intelligence, what role it's going to play in the buyer-seller relationship. I'm not smart enough to figure that out yet, but I'm excited to, I know there's potential there to change the world in many respects. I'm already trying to figure out how it can save me time. And I've played around with it a little bit. I would love if some company out there has figured out how to leverage artificial intelligence in the buyer-seller interface world. What's that going to look like in the future when information is available to everybody all at the same time by pushing buttons? And some of the analysis may be done for you, but you've got to know what kind of question to ask to be able to get the analysis, and that requires the intelligence. So I'm excited about the future because I know it'll be different in 10 years than it is today. Exactly what it's going to look like, I don't know, but technology will be driving decision making in a much more objective way than even it does today. It's way more objective than it was 10, 15 years ago. It'll be even more objective in another 10 years. And I think the salespeople will have to have their mind wrapped around that technology, and the companies will have to be able to train their salespeople how to leverage artificial intelligence to solve problems for their customers.
Where do you see maybe too much reliance on technology in the world of sales?
Well, you still are going to need to trust people. You still are going to need to have a relationship with people. At the end of the day, more information that's better, more actionable, will help move things along. But you're still going to have a personal relationship that's built on trust and authenticity with people. The people part of it's not going to go away. The data availability and how data is served up to you and the amount of information you're able to gather before a sales call is going to be much different as we go forward. I don't know exactly how that's going to play off, but what will never go away is human interaction and relationship.
How about the students that are in these programs where they're, unlike you and I, they've grown up with technology in their hand from the beginning, no matter what age, because the internet and the technology has been around for a while. Where are they using it for good? Do you see them trying to rely on it, or do they understand sales relationships, conversations, and balancing it pretty well with, wanting to do it all via text or chat or, something like that?
Interestingly, the students that I work with who are already in the program, understand that fully. They've run toward this because they feel they have the ability to create relationships themselves. They like relationships. They like being around people. And that's one of the reasons they're attracted to the program. But there are a lot of kids, and particularly post-COVID, that don't want to get out of their room. So we'll have an event with free pizza and having people, kids come and learn more about the program. And, half of them that register won't show up because they're just, they don't run to the personal interaction. So I think there's a problem out, not a problem is the wrong word, an opportunity with some of the young people post-COVID that are going to need to be coaxed back into developing personal relationships. They hid in their room for so long with their camera off and learned or not learned that way. Mm-hmm. And there's a percentage of them that'll need to be coaxed back into life. But the people I'm working with, the 200 or so in the sales program, ran to it because they hunger for that. And so, if I got people interested in hiring people out there, if you're looking for people that love to build relationships and love the human interaction, then wherever you are, go look for them in the sales program, because that's where they are.
Yeah. It's almost I don't know if this is the right one to use, but almost an observation bias, which is, you're seeing these students who are excited about relationships because they see that's the value. And so it looks like, the people in this program, it's almost the chicken or the egg, right? Is it, helping them develop that, or they're just naturally drawn to that, and the other ones are, opting out and choosing something else. And, maybe it's not for them and they're not the future of sales, which is interesting to think about. If you, final question to think about, what excites you the most about, let's say, the future of sales and the future of this specific UT sales program?
Well, I think so. Let's consider the students going into the program and heading out into the world of sales. Really smart kids who understand the power of relationships and authenticity, and who want to make a difference in the world, and who abhor lack of ethics. I mean, they've seen enough from your generation and my generation of people going to jail for doing the wrong thing. And mm-hmm. and the ones I work with, I think this is pretty common. They want to do exactly the opposite of that. They want to help the world be a better place. And I'm telling them that sales is a way to do that, because you can help the world solve problems with your ideas. What a better place to want to be than in that kind of situation where you can problem solve for companies using your ideas. And I love it that they're going there. And that's why I'm so confident that the young people of tomorrow will make the world a better place than our generation did. Not that it's a terrible place, but it'll be much better as a result of that. And the second part of your question, I lost as I was waxing eloquently about that. Oh, my program.
Your program.
I think that our program, first of all, there's sales taught now in maybe 150 universities or colleges around the country. Many of them are smaller schools, not all of them, but many of them are smaller schools. And, they're teaching sales, and the audience for the student is not the IBMs of the world. It's not the Dells of the world. It's the local family business in town or whatever it might be. So I'm not trying to belittle that, but I mean, their concept of teaching selling is more in the how do you sell. And what we're trying to do in our program, because we are a large university that's got pretty high academic rating, we're trying to teach people how to sell in a bigger picture business environment so they can solve problems in a large scale. So we're training people to be future sales leaders of companies here, not just great salespeople. And some great salespeople become great leaders. Some great salespeople are just great salespeople. We're trying to crank out people that will lead the sales organizations of large companies going forward.
I love it. I think that's great. And I'm really excited about what you said about the future and what they want and how they want to be in sales. And that's why I love these conversations, want to get these out more, and excited by more and more schools with more and more students growing their programs to fill the world with people who see sales different. Again, Lamar, thank you for being here. For people who want to connect with you, I mentioned the other ones. The links will be in the show notes. LinkedIn, you're on LinkedIn. So Lamar Johnson, and then also the University of Texas McComb School of Business. The link will be in there. I know they can find that in there. Again, thank you for all of this and for what you're doing to take all of your experience and help shift the world of sales with the future salespeople. I appreciate that and for you being here.
I have fun every day. Jason, thanks for including me.
I love it. And thank everybody for being here, tuning in, being a part of this journey, and doing what you can to shift the way sales is done. Thank you for again for being here and for being a part of this journey to help fill the world with authentic persuaders.